This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Special podcast on Joy 94.9 is David Bowie is more Bowie. Can't get enough Bowie.
This is Sonia here from Sci-Fi and Squeam and your second breakfast on Joy 94.9. Just chilling out after a lot of Bowie at ACMI. We're at the cafe having coffee as you do. And look what happened. Hans is here. Now, Hans, welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
A show in a cafe.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. I'm very excited about this interview. Yes, I am. And about the venue here. It's awesome.
Who are you?
Hans-Peter Frühauf is my name. Well, actually, I come from Germany, Frankfurt, Mainz, is a smaller city next to Frankfurt, and there I work as a social scientist about employment policy and immigration topics. You see nothing with Bowie or pop culture. Yeah, it's in my leisure time. Yeah, I do some pop cultural studies, and with friends I published a book about punk music in New York. And the Jewishness about it. You know, Lou Reed and all those guys were the first generation after the Holocaust, after the Shoah, and they played with Nazi symbols and things like that. And I found it very interesting to work on this. And then I thought about Bowie in this context, because he's also a guy who refuses an identity, a fixed identity, in place with symbols and stuff like this. So I got into him. I worked on him. And actually, in 2012, I was a speaker in Limerick. That was the first David Bowie symposium. Nice place. And I was a speaker there. And so I got in touch to Bowie in a more scientific way. I'm just a fan. Now I'm working on him, like, seriously. Yeah. I hope so. It's serious.
And we've got Lauren Stardust here as well. Lauren?
Hello. How are we?
How are you post-Bowie?
Oh, my goodness. What an experience. I had a little cry at the beginning and had a little cry in the center there. And at the end, I had a big cry. Wow. Yeah. Very overwhelming. I'm filled with adoration and joy, really. Yeah.
And I think the great thing is, too, Stardust came out, didn't she, downstairs? And look at that media following you have now that's going to hit probably in the weekend.
It's funny. Doing something for so long and then finally because I always went by my normal name, and finally adopting Stardust and being proud of my stage name instead of sort of seeing it as a... Oh no, that's a bit geeky. I'm not going to mention that I do that. And coming in, this exhibition really lets me come into my own in that I'm a very proud David Bowie fan, and I'm very proud to be style myself like him and wear it with flair everywhere.
We need a camp, like out on Federation Square. We could have a camp out. That would all be awesome. And camping out. You're camping out here in Melbourne, first time there, Hans?
It's the first time for me to be in Australia and in Melbourne, and it's awesome here and beautiful, yeah. I like the building. Actually, I love this place here. The architecture is so nice, and a nice place to stay and look around, watch the people. And then I went to the exhibition about the movies and the films here. It's very, very nice. I enjoyed it to be here, yeah.
Spoiled with this wonderful epicenter of pop culture goodness. And speaking of pop culture goodness, you're going to be talking at the symposium Dark Side of the City, revisiting Bowie's Berlin. That's you at 2:15 with Professor Lisa Gotto and Andrea Baker and yourself, Hans. Day two, Saturday the 18th of July. So, wow, that's quite a concept. Why do you think David Bowie went to Berlin?
He went to Berlin because he was attracted by the city, as he known from the artists who lived there in the 1910s, 1920 years. He was very attracted by the German Expressionism and the avant-garde movement, and that took place in Berlin in the beginning of the last century. And we know that Bowie is attracted by art since he is a young kid, a teenager. So I think that was one of the reasons he went to Berlin. The other reason is to get rid of the American way of living and from his drug addiction, and to live a more anonymous way, and to come down. And I think for all those guys, as me as a Western German guy, Berlin was always very attractive because it was the only city who was divided in Europe. The two systems, Western and Eastern system, clashed together in a real small place. And I think it's for an artist like Bowie, it was the right place to stay and produce music, because Berlin mirrors his mood and his atmosphere and his way of composing. Bowie is not a composer who do the happy things. And it's just nostalgia in his work. And Berlin was the right place for him to do some great work like Heroes, Low Heroes and Lodger. So I think that's the reason he went there.
It's a fascinating city, like you said, divided, yes. The Berlin Wall there.
Yeah.
It was a very crucial, intense time. And I guess from what we know, and you would know more, by the late 70s, things are starting to sort of fall apart a little bit, but the Cold War wasn't even at its height. That wasn't till the 80s. But, you know, I like to think Bowie had something to do with the wall coming down. That's my fantasy that he did. And let's talk about the Hansa Tong Studios, yeah, in Berlin.
Yeah, that is, let's say it's a mythical place, because in the 70s, the Hansa Studio was right next to the wall. And when you looked out the window, you could see the wall and all the soldiers going around on the other side. So that is one reason for an artist like Bowie that is the right place to compose his sort of music. On the other hand, the Hansa Studios, especially the Meistersaal, that's the place where you record the studio, has had an excellent sound. And on the other hand, it was filled up with old history. Even the Nazis used this place for dancing and as a lounge place. So it's a very, very exciting and scary place. Yeah, but I think the Hansa Studios were at the top studios in the world on these days.
Is it still used as a studio?
It's a studio, yeah. It's a studio, yeah. And when you Google Hansa Studios and then you will see the pictures from the 1970s, you can see it. There's a big building and the wall and nothing else. In our days now, it's a lot of buildings are raised up in this area, and it's just like, okay, you go, oh, this is Hansa Studios, okay, they're here. But in former days, it was really scary, like I said, yeah? Next to the wall, and you see you were in a nowhere land, especially. Yeah?
Against the wall, and perfect, because I read somewhere that he used to pop out, him and Brian, there was a balcony or something, and they would have a cigarette, and they'd look up, and the soldiers would be looking down, and one day, I think a soldier pointed a gun at them. And it was pretty scary.
Yeah, scary time. And also, those are the stories which are told. It's a mythical place, and all the people think about Bowie in Berlin, like, oh, it's like an art show or whatever. But I think they were just normal kids, normal guys going around there, go for a coffee or a beer, and yeah. do their jobs in the studio. Yeah, for us as fans or supporters, yeah, we can use this material, those pictures, to build up our own stuff in the head, like, oh, what the stars are out tonight, what they are doing. But when you look at the pictures, they were just normal kids, yeah? And we are the supporters who make the myth out of it.
They're not normal kids.
Yeah?
They're not normal kids. Brian Eno and... I mean, what a collaboration. I think, for me, for popular music, I believe that's probably one of the greatest collaborations ever.
Indeed. I agree. Totally. I agree. But for a good producing and a good fellowship, you need a good atmosphere. You have to be friends. You go out and whatever. Yeah. And then in the studio, they were like... the biggest artists I do know in pop culture, because the material they made, like the Berlin Trilogy, is still perfect, and it will never be old-fashioned.
No, because they pioneered a lot of new ways of making sounds and electronica, and Brian Eno was incredibly talented like that, gifted person, and with Bowie's passion and poetry, it just melded perfectly.
Actually, Bowie was attracted by the German music those days, like Kraftwerk, Can, Neu. And it would be amazing if they had worked together. Bowie wanted to work together with those guys from Can or Neu, I don't remember yet, but the management behind Bowie, they rejected it. So if they had worked together, those German groups, which were very popular, and Bowie, we had a great bass. It would have been amazing. And Bowie told a story in 2002 in an interview that he tried to give one of those guys a phone call, but they didn't call back. And then suddenly those guys, I have forgotten his name, said, Bowie has never called me. So the management behind Bowie said, not an album like Glow. Just bad selling album. No. Bowie. Yeah, he has to make hits. He has to do.
Make bucks.
Yeah. So that's a funny and a very sad side of this.
Maybe one day they might do something if some of them are still around.
No. I don't think so. Bowie won't do any experiments with other people. He will stay on his he doesn't need to.
So what brought you to be interested in that side of the Bowie, talking about Berlin, and what will you be discussing, I guess, at the, without giving too much away, what you'll be talking about at the symposium?
On Saturday I will talk about the influences the avant-garde and art movement, especially in Germany, do mirror in how it mirrors in Bowie's work. He loved the German expressionism, and when he was in Berlin, he went often to the Brücke Museum, in Grunewald, very nice museum. And actually we all know that the Heroes cover is... let's say a copy of one famous building of Erich Heckel. He was a painter at this time. So, and I asked myself, where can I show how those influences from the German Expressionism mirrors in Bowie's work? So I'm going to have a look on the album cover, at the picture from the Heroes album cover, and I'm going to interpret this thing, and I will show that it is in the mood of the German Expressionism. And then in the second step, I will have a closer look on the video Heroes. How is the performance? It's a play with shadow and light in this video. Remember, he's standing in a fog, some kind of fog, and that's a typical form of expressionistic stylization. Cinema. And then I have a short look on the movie Christiane F. There's this famous scene, and a short look on the one of my favorite movies, Twin Peaks: Fire Walk with Me. It's a brilliant scene in there, and I will try to explain how Bowie is set in scene in this movie. And my conclusion will be that that he is an artist in pastiche, a collagiste.
Yes.
Collagiste par excellence. And he uses the material which is offered by the avant-garde movement in his sense. And this is so professional and so amazing, and you have to show it on the material. Yeah, so... I will do that. I'll try to do that.
Well, that's all. Christiana F., how did the movie affect?
Affect the fans and the legacy of the film.
Because it is an incredible movie, and for its time, 1981, I think it came out. Pretty risque.
I can't say anything about the affection on fans because I was too young at this time. I've seen it in the cinema, and I was 13. I was too young for this movie, but I liked it. I was attracted by it. But I think the legacy of the film is, like to say, Quentin Tarantino said, it's the best ever Joker concert clip in history. This short, if you see, if you look at this short clip, you got the whole film, the whole picture. Because the entrance of Bowie when he comes on stage is delayed. The camera can't follow him. It's artistic.
Yeah. When she enters the club, Christiane, where she's wearing a Bowie jacket she's made. It's got Bowie on the back.
Yes.
It's an amazing. I believe it's a one single shot, and it lasts for about 8 minutes.
Yeah, around this. Yeah. And I think that is the best moment in the movie. On the other hand, Christiane F. The movie is okay. It's a typical German movie about social problems and drug addiction and what. And it was. He's not that on his own. It's not that important, but. Combined with the music of David Bowie and the concert clip, it's got a special level, and it's very attractive for fans right now, to see that. Also, on these days, David Bowie wasn't that popular in Germany. He was in the 70s; he was still an underground star, and he really came up 83 with Let's Dance and Modern Love and China Girl, But until 78, 79. He hadn't that big followers. Yeah, it was just an underground, not just an underground star, and that was changed in the 80s when he got this amazing success with Let's Dance. Yeah,
which was filmed in Australia.
Yes,
caused a huge uproar and a bit of a wake up, and amazing looking at Indigenous rights and Indigenous involvement, having Aboriginal people in a music video might have been the first time actually. Which is incredible, to have been done by an outsider. Just amazing.
That's the thing I love about Bowie, because he works about topics which concern outsiders.
Yes.
And also in his...
He is.
Yeah. Probably in his private life, I don't know anything about it, but he sets himself in scene as an outsider. And also in his commercial success... times he worked with this topic, like you said in Let's Dance about Aborigines and Loving the Alien later on Tonight. Then he had and Never Let Me Down. It's a bad CD, but also there Day In Day Out he got a topic with outsiders, so I think that's over this whole career, this topic of the outsiders hold everything together. Combined with a very nostalgic form of composition, so and that's why I love him so
it's
much.
It's quite musical.
Yes.
His delivery is very musical, very English in that respect, and combining it with new technologies makes him very special. And it's good to know it hit in Germany. What 83 fame. hit and what in the 80s for Germans. When did you get interested in
it? Typical with 14, 15, 83, Let's Dance, but I got very fast to his back catalogue. It came up on those days, and then within 1 year I got, I think, all the LPs and all those posters and pictures and whatever, so... And it's a long-time companion for me, and it's his music is the soundtrack of my life. And for every bad situation or good situation, I got a Bowie song in mind.
So exactly.
Then I'm just fan. It's more important for me to be a fan than a serious scientist on Bowie topics. You have to see both as a game. You don't have to look at Bowie that seriously, because he's such a funny person. The last interviews in 1999, 21, 22, 23, they were so funny. he never talked about himself, only about he made jokes, and he asked people, who do you want me to be, and whatever. And that's so funny. Yeah, this person is like an empty canvas, and you can project all your desires on it, yeah, and you can do and handle with him like you want. And that's the thing why David Bowie is a superstar. A superstar is it's not a person, a real person at all. A superstar works with ambiguity, and the viewers are those who have the force to make this person, this single person, or this single picture as a star. So when you
you mean what we project onto that person, maybe.
That's good. Like Sting, he always talks about himself. There's some videos. Oh, I'm sick. I got a divorce or whatever. And I don't want to hear it.
No? Yeah, that's for Facebook.
that's for Facebook. That's it. Yeah.
Mystery. It's the mystery. Keep the mystery going, and then you've got hopefully other things falling.
And last days, Catherine Deneuve said it, that Bob Dylan and David Bowie, especially David Bowie, are the greatest superstars in time because they hide themselves as a private person and be in the pop cultural universe as a symbol. And that Catherine Deneuve said it, and I love this.
Oh, yeah. I love her. And The Hunger. They're going to be playing that film here, a fabulous film by Tony Scott with Susan Sarandon, Catherine Deneuve, and of course David Bowie. Amazing.
Amazing movie, yeah.
Not made in Germany, though, I don't think. No. I was surprised. Look, who has that sense?
Oh, I think Germany is not that popular for making good movies.
No, that's not right.
No. There are some really good directors, like Ulrich Edel, who made Christiane F. or Wolfgang Petersen and whatever. But the film market, especially in Germany, is very weak. So it's more comedian stuff and some. But there are some good ones, like I said. But Germany is not the first place to make music. But now, in our days, Berlin is already very attractive for directors. A lot of movies were taken in Berlin, not the Hansa Studios, in the Babelsberger Studios again. But that was no German productions.
If you had to choose a single Berlin song, that was made at the Hansa Studios, what would you choose?
I would choose the entire Low album as one song. The Low album is the best for me. And all those songs in there and the experiments they made, and it's so fantastic. So I choose the whole album Low.
It is a brilliant album. It's subtle, then it's suddenly very boisterous, and with the technology. All right, look, fantastic speaking to you, Hans. Wonderful. And we look forward to, if people have a chance to go and see the panel, The Dark Side of the City, Revisiting Bowie's Berlin, you must do it. And if not, you have to go and get the three albums, the trilogy, of course, which starts with
Low, Heroes and Larger.
Thank you very much for speaking to us on Joy 94.9. Hans.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the special podcast about David Bowie.
It included many of the folks who were at ACMI and the David Bowie Is forums and exhibitions held only in Melbourne until November 1st, 2015. We hope you enjoyed this. We'll have more podcasts to come.
Thank you for listening to the special David Bowie presentation by Joy 94.9.
Interviews helmed by Sonia Hammer from Sci-Fi and Squeam and Queer Geeks of Oz and Geek Girls Speak. Enjoy this podcast.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.